All this summer, we're offering recommendations for books you might want to check out. You can find links to some of our summertime picks at hereandnow.org. Today, Francine Prose, the author of 21 books of fiction, including the National Book Award-winning Blue Angel. She's a distinguished writer in residence at Bard College. Her latest nonfiction is a collection of essays called What to Read and Why. Francine Prose, what made you want to compile these book picks?
Well, it's been my experience, and I think it's many writers' experience, that people are always asking you, what should I read or what are you reading? And when I was traveling and talking to people about my previous book, Reading Like a Writer, I would have to say, well, there's a reading list at the end, and just go to the reading list and look at what I recommend. And it was sort of frustrating because you can't really talk to people in depth. So one of the things that I enjoyed about putting this book together was my ability to say, I think you should read Great Expectations, and here's 3,000 words about why I think so. And it was kind of a challenge to try and convince people to read these books that I love without spoiling the experience of reading for them.
So why don't you take Great Expectations first then? I mean, we know it's a classic. Many of us read it in school. Why read it right now, especially, you know, it's summertime? Is this really a summer read?
Dickens is incredibly entertaining. I mean, he wrote, one of the things I liked about writing the essay was to talk about how he wrote it, which was that he had started a magazine, which was serialized fiction. So he'd done Tale of Two Cities for the magazine, and they did Wilkie Collins' novel. And then the magazine was about to go out of business because they had another writer whose work wasn't selling. So Dickens said, okay, to save the magazine, I'm going to write a novel in serial form. And it turned out to be Great Expectations. I mean, it's such a beautiful, you know, people remember Miss Havisham and so forth. But just in terms of psychology and detail and dialogue and plot development and set pieces, it's just a fantastically beautiful novel.
Yeah, Dickens is entertaining, and not that we have to necessarily be entertained, but it's a great read. But why, among all the great reads, bring this one up now?
Well, it has a lot to do with moral development, which I think is a really important subject at the moment, and with class consciousness, and with looking at who you are and what your aspirations are and how you act in society like a morally conscious human being, which I can't think of a more appropriate time to think about all those subjects.
There's another author from a different century. This is from the last century, Mavis Gallant, and you profile the collected stories of Mavis Gallant. You say that in 30 years of teaching, you almost always include one or two of her stories in your courses. Why is that?
Well, she's an exquisite writer to look at if you're trying to talk about close reading, because she was just a master of subtext, so that when you talk about her stories with students, you can say, what's this sentence saying on the surface? And then look at all the things that the sentence is saying under the surface if you really look at it carefully enough, so that at the end, the story becomes a kind of summation of not only the things that you've read, but the things that have been put in your consciousness because they've been just underneath the outside surface of what you've read.
So is this for the casual reader or the student of writing?
Well, both. They're also fun. Did I not make that clear? I mean, they're funny.
You include the author Patrick Hamilton in your book, and his novels you write, quote, are dark tunnels of misery, loneliness, deceit, and sexual obsession, illuminated by scenes so funny that it takes a while to register the sheer awfulness of what we just read. Why did you choose Hamilton?
What I've written makes it sound great, huh?
Because
he's such a good writer and so entertaining. And I think, you know, lately, more people have been reading the Patrick Melrose novels by Edward St. Aubin, which I also talk about in this book. But in a way, Hamilton was like a precursor of St. Aubin. I mean, that is, his writing was similarly dark, witty, also entertaining, and just beautifully written. Let me read one little quote, which I just love, and it's typical of his style. And this is from one of his books called 20,000 Streets Under the Sky. This is a woman who's thinking about drinking and why she likes it. A permeating coma, a warm haze of noises and conversation wrapped her comfortably around together with something more. What that something more was, she did not quite know. She sat there and let it flow through her. It was a glow and a kind of premonition. It certainly was spiritual, but a much more emphatically a physical premonition of good about to befall. It was like the effect on the body of good news without the good news.
Hmm.
which is like something that Edward Saint-Aubin might have written, but it was written decades before and by Patrick Hamilton. Plus his novels. I mean, he's the kind of writer whom I love to recommend because he's not widely known. One of the reasons that I wrote this book or put together this book was my feeling everybody should be reading these books because they're so great.
Why did you include, well, I guess because you think it's great, but why did you include a book by Gita Sarangi? It's a book about a true crime that might be hard for readers to take. It's called Cries Unheard, a profile of a woman who, as an 11-year-old, killed two small children. It's somewhat controversial because the author actually paid the woman later in life for her story. Why did you include it?
Well, because I think Gita Sarangi was one of the great writers of the last century, and because all of her books are extraordinary, because her lifelong project, she had two projects. She was a Hungarian journalist who had to leave Hungary and during the World War II, and her two projects were children in, who have been subjected to trauma of one sort or another and the origins of evil. So this was one of her more famous books, but then she wrote two books, one about Albert Speer, the architect of the Nuremberg rallies and Hitler's architect, and one about the commandant of the Treblinka extermination camps. And in both cases, she went to interview people who no one interviewed. She talked to people who no one talked to. She tried to understand what made these people tick and why they wound up doing the things that they did. And she brought a similar approach to the story of Mary Pell, the child murderer, looking at her childhood, her horrendous relationship with her mother, and to try and understand why she committed the crime she committed and what had happened to her in prison and why she came out of prison a kind of reconstructed human being. So again, I can't think of anything more timely if we need desperately to understand people who don't think the way we do and whose actions we think are appalling. Read Gita Sarangi and try and figure out what an approach might be to understanding who they are and why they do the things they do.
That book is called Cries Unheard. We'll be putting a list of all the books and the authors that you're recommending on our website, hearandnow.org. Two more things that are very topical. One is a book by a Pakistani-born author, Mohsen Hamid, Exit West, which you call a real novel about the daunting subject of the global refugee crisis, especially relevant right now. Is that why you included it?
Yeah. And I mean, he's a great writer. And also he's a real novelist. So I was struck over and over again by the brilliance of his inventions and by the things he found to help him do things. I mean, for example, there are these kind of slightly supernatural things that happen in the novel. And one of them is that there's a kind of portal through which these characters go as they become refugees and are chased from place to place. And it's just a portal, and it allows them to go from point A to point B instantly within the space of a paragraph, rather than Hamid having had to narrate their entire journey from place to place. And I thought, what a brilliant way of saving yourself the trouble of pages about a journey that people think they might know the details of, and just getting his characters to the next place they have to be.
Why don't we finish up on the novels of Jane Austen? They've always been extremely popular, in part for her humor, but you say she's also a keen observer of economic conditions. How so?
Well, she understood, you know, why do her characters so desperately need to get married? I mean, it's partly for love, and partly those books are about finding someone you love to marry, but it was also an economic consideration. I mean, the fact that property and money were not left to women, so women had to find other ways to survive economically and financially, mostly through marriage. I mean, fortunately, most of that is gone by now, but she was so astute in understanding the ways in which money and finance affected everybody's everyday behavior.
And which would you recommend?
Oh, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility. You can't go wrong. I mean, they're all so great.
And Francine, in summary, you've given us a lot to read and the specific reasons why we should read each of these. But in aggregate, what's the thrust behind these recommendations in their entirety? What do you want us to get from them?
Well, I would just like people to keep reading and to keep reading really good books. And what are the reasons for reading? I mean, they're different for everyone, of course, but among them are pleasure or wisdom or understanding other human beings or appreciating someone's use of the language. I mean, there are endless numbers of reasons, and all of them seem important to me, and all of them are reasons why I keep writing and keep reading.
Francine Prose, thank you for all your recommendations. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Francine Prose's newest book is called What to Read and Why.